beginning with verse 1, and let's read there together. Mark chapter 5, beginning with the first verse. And again today, I ask a great interest in your prayers. And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broke in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. And that's reading the first 20 verses of Mark chapter 5 for a scripture reading. This is the thought that I want you to consider with me today. I want to use this title, If You've Got It, Tell It. I want you to think, and I want to go over just the last a couple of the last verses that I read here. But we think about this man for whom the Lord Jesus had done such a great thing. I mean, when he was possessed with those demons, he was just pretty much a mess. And he wasn't able to even properly function, and he was abusing himself, and he was possessed with evil spirits, and the Lord Jesus Christ cured him of that, cast them out of him. And this that I'm talking about today, I wanted to try to make this point here in the very beginning of how important this must really be to the Lord Jesus for us to do that, for us to testify of what he has done for us. Because, you know, those whom Jesus heals, you remember, in fact, I tried to preach about this on Sunday morning a while back. Remember the account that we have in the scriptures of the 10 lepers that Jesus healed? And when they went away, there was only one of them that came back and praised him for it and gave him thanks for it. And the Lord asked the question, well, where are the nine? And so the Lord, it's important to him that those whom he saves, those whom he heals, that we honor him with our lives. That means a lot to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wants his children to follow him. You know, when we are saved, he wants us to follow him. He wants us to follow him in baptism. He wants us to follow his commandments, do his commandments and the things that he has told us to do. He wants us to follow that path. And so certainly it's important to Jesus that those whom he touches, they follow him. And I got really moved this morning. I've heard that song, He Touched Me. I don't know how many times I've heard that in my life, and it continues to bless me. And the Lord, when we sang that in Sunday school this morning, he just moved upon my heart through that song because, you know, when you're singing that, you're singing my testimony. Shackled by a heavy burden, beneath a load of guilt and shame. That's where I was at. Then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I'm no longer the same. The Lord touched me. I remember that very well when I was calling up on him for salvation and for eternal life. He touched me. See, I had a real experience with the Lord. I don't have something to profess today before you of something that I did. I don't have a 12-step salvation. I mean, there were things that occurred in me coming to the Lord, but I don't have the type of salvation where I stand before you and I say, well, I did this when the man told me to do it, and I did this when the preacher told me to do it, and I went through the steps, and because of that, I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved because the Lord touched me. Amen. He touched me when I was calling upon him. The Lord touched this man, and he had a desire. After what the Lord had done for him, he had a desire to follow Jesus. And I already told you how important that is to the Lord. He wants us to do that. He wants us to follow him and do the things that please him. But there was something else that Jesus wanted this man to do when he came to the Lord after the Lord had healed him and made it known to him that he had a desire to go with him and to follow him. Jesus said, no, it's not what I want you to do. I want you to go home. And I want you to tell your friends what great things that the Lord has done for you. Now, those of us who have been saved, we understand that better than anybody on the face of the earth. I'm convinced of that. We understand what Jesus was saying to this man because we know when God spoke peace to our soul, we know and at least we somewhat understand what he did for us. Now, we don't know the full benefit of it yet. I guarantee you that we don't know yet the full benefit of being saved. We don't yet know what all we're going to be blessed with because we have been saved. God has so much in store for those that know him in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. He has so much. We have, folks, listen, we have the brightest future of anybody that's living. You know, people may have been through all kinds of schooling and advanced training and what have you, and they think that as far as this world is concerned, they look at that and they think, with all I've done, you know, what a bright future I've got ahead. Well, I ought to have job security and all of these things, but I'll tell you what, friends, nobody has a brighter future than those who have been saved by the grace of God. We've got great things ahead. I look forward to them more and more all the time, don't you?
I get more excited all the time about being with the Lord Jesus. I get more excited all the time about and knowing that, you know, my life is swiftly passing by. But, you know, for those who are saved, that's all right, isn't it? That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that because we got such wonderful things ahead. I mean, just beyond this realm of time, we're going to see, a blessed eternity. We're going to see the Lord. And so that's okay. You know, I don't really mind, just to be honest with you. It doesn't really bother me that my life's a vapor. That's okay. I'm going to enjoy what the Lord gives me here because I believe that God's going to bless me all the days that I'm here. I believe He'll bless His people. I believe that's what David was talking about in the 23rd Psalm. I believe he was acknowledging there that he knew the Lord was his shepherd here and he was going to bless him while he was here on the earth. He knew he was going to bless him and be with him when he walked through the valley of the shadow of death, but he knew that there was great blessings beyond what we have here. And so that's all right. That's all right with me. I don't know how you feel about it. You can make your own determination. But it's okay with me that life's a vapor. I'll take what God gives me here, but I've got better things ahead in a place where there isn't any time. And it's not a vapor. So Jesus said, I want you to go. And I want you to tell your friends how great a things the Lord has done for you. And that's what the Bible teaches us to do. And there it teaches us that in the Old Testament. It teaches us that in the New Testament. Why, do you know this? That you may have heard some big stories in your life. I mean, you may have heard some monumental things told. You may have heard some people say things that you just sit back and say, wow, that's hard to picture, that's hard to imagine. But you know what? Somebody that has been touched by the hand of God, somebody that knows what it means to be saved by God's grace. Did you know today that the people of God have the greatest story to tell this world? We've got the greatest thing to tell this world. We've got something to tell this world that surpasses everything else in its importance. We've got the best news on earth. You don't hear about very much good news in the newspaper anymore when you read it. You don't read about, it doesn't seem like you read about very much good news, or you don't hear about very much good news when you turn the TV on and watch the news broadcast. But friends, I'm telling you today, if you're here today and you're lost and in your sins, I've got good news for you. That's what the gospel is. The gospel is good news. And as cold waters are to a thirsty soul, you ever, been even in your body, your throat been parched? Oh, how good it is to have a good, cool drink of water to quench that thirst. And the Bible says, as cold waters are to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. And lost soul, listen, there's good news for you today. It's not good that you're lost. It's a horrible condition to be in, to be lost and separated from God. But there is good news in the fact that a loving Savior came and died for your sins so that you can be saved and have eternal life. I'm afraid sometimes, as God's people, that we, let me back up just a moment before I say that. Let me use this verse of scripture in the 40th Psalm. David praised God for what he had done for him. He said, He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, placed my feet upon a rock, and established my goings and did what? Put a new song where? In my mouth, even praise unto our God. And if we look in Romans chapter 10, Paul said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so we today, we have the ability to talk. And even those, I mean, even people who can't physically do that, even those that we would know as someone who is mute still, there are ways to communicate. We can communicate and we can tell about things. And I'm afraid sometimes that we spend far more time talking about things that really don't matter than we do telling people what the Lord has done for us. I want you to think about this. I want you to think seriously about this. Those of you that are here today that have been saved by God's grace, I want you to think seriously, when's the last time? When's the last time? And I'm not talking about, just when we assemble in our church services. You know, there's a certain amount of comfort in this setting, isn't there? I mean, we're going to testify here. If you stand up here today and you tell your experience of salvation, you're going to be testifying among a lot of people today that know exactly what you're talking about. And there's a certain comfort in doing that. And we are, I think sometimes we're a lot braver and a lot more bold when we're in these settings than we are perhaps out in public. But we ought to be bold in the Lord Jesus Christ wherever that we go. And so I ask you this, when's the last time, before a coworker or somebody that you perhaps you knew they didn't believe what you did, but you wanted to tell them what the Lord had done for you. You wanted to profess to them and tell them about how that he dealt with your soul, about how he spoke peace to your soul, because that's what the Lord told this man to do. He said, no, I don't want you to come with me right now. I don't want you to physically follow me where I'm going right now. I want you to go and be a mouthpiece for me. I want you to go and testify of me. You know, listen, those of us who have been saved, when we stand to testify of that, of the goodness of God upon our soul, you know, whether we're telling about our experience of salvation or whether we are telling about some other way that God blessed us with our life, those professions that we make, those testimonies that we give, they're not for our benefit. They're not for our glory. They're not for just something for our edification. They are to lift up and exalt the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus told this man to go and to his family, to his friends, and to tell them what he had done for them, it wasn't so he could go there and brag and say, would you look at me? I'm the guy that used to be possessed with the devil, and look at me now. Look how I've reformed. Look how I've changed myself. That's not what our testimonies are about. You remember reading there in the third chapter of the Acts of the Apostles when Peter and John came there to the temple and that lame man was there begging an alms, and he'd been lame since the time of his birth, and he was there begging an alms, and the apostle Peter looked upon him and said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And that man's ankle bones received strength, and he got up and walked. And you know what he did? He went away and hid somewhere in a corner and never told anybody about it. No, you didn't read it that way, did you? He went there to the temple and he was walking and he was leaping and he was praising God and he was making it known there publicly before those people how that the Lord had touched him and healed him and made him to walk. And when the people began to look at what had happened, the apostle Peter perceived what they were thinking and how they were viewing that. And so he said to those people, "Why do you look at us? Why do you look at us as though we, by our own power, made this man whole, made him walk? We didn't do this. God has glorified his son Jesus in this, and it's by his power that this man is made whole." Folks, listen, today, I thank God for the people. Brother Wheat mentioned today how we learn from people. And I thank God for the people in my life that I have learned from. I thank God for the people in my life that have been a great influence to me and have been tutors to me and have been my mentors in many ways. But listen, what I have in my soul, the Lord Jesus gave that to me. He gave that to me, and I have him to thank for that. I have him, and it was his power alone. And that's what the Apostle Peter told those people. God had given them the power to do that. God had granted those apostles the power and those gifts of healing, but Peter knew it wasn't in them. He said, "It's the Lord that's done this." And so our testimonies, they're about exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. Not about exalting anybody else. Not about exalting anybody else. And I've said this before, and I never mean to hurt anybody's feelings. I've heard this testified a lot. I've heard people talk a lot about the preacher that was preaching when they got under conviction. And, people may have, they may hold a special place in their heart in that way for somebody that was preaching. I don't know, but I know this. When we begin to praise, when we begin to give thanks for what we have in our soul, we need to be sure that we give 100% of it to the Lord. 100% to God. I'll tell you what, that man that influenced you or that woman or whoever it was wouldn't have been there doing that at all if it had not been for the influence of God upon them in their life. I wouldn't be here preaching before you today if it wasn't for what God has done in my heart and in my life. So in the 107th Psalm, we're simply told this: "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." I've been here at the church for almost 4 years as your pastor. Some of your testimonies I've heard, some I've never heard. And you know what? That's between you and the Lord. But I know what the Bible says. I know the Bible says that we are to testify of what God has done for us. We're to publish it. You know, salvation is personal, isn't it? I mean, it's personal. Friends, salvation, you've heard me preach that before. You've heard other preachers preach it. You've heard people testify to that. Salvation is personal, and it is. It's exactly that. It's a personal experience between you and God, but it was never intended to be private. It was to be published. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let those who have been redeemed, let them tell it. Let them publish it. Let them glorify God. That's exactly what David said. He brought me up out of the horrible pit. He placed my feet up on a rock. He established my goings. He put a new song in my mouth. And what was that song? Even praise unto our God. I was preaching one time in a revival. Some people found this kind of funny, but I didn't intend for it to be funny at all. I was preaching one time in a revival, and I mean, you talk about a dead revival. I mean, it was just, that's the best way I could describe it. It was just dead. Nobody seemed to have anything to say or do for God. We'd go there night after night and have a service and have a few songs and preach, and that was it, and go home, and it was just cold. I mean, you know, it was like preaching in a freezer. It was spiritually cold. And about Friday night, the Lord gave me this message, and I preached this message. And I used the title, "Do You Have a Broken Mouth?" You think about that today. What about your mouth? What about what the Bible says about that? That it's with the heart that man believeth unto righteousness, but it's with the mouth or the voice that confession is made unto salvation, or in reference to salvation, to what you've been given. And David said again, he put a new song in my mouth, even praised our God. You read the scriptures, you read about the Apostle Paul. You know, not everywhere he went. When Paul was before people, he didn't always take a text and preach before them. You know what he did? He told them about what the Lord had done for him. You read the 22nd chapter of Acts when he was there before his brethren. You read the 26th chapter of Acts when he was there before Agrippa. What did Paul do? We have record in the scriptures of the Apostle Paul going different places before different people. And you know what he did? He said, "I want to tell you about something. I want to tell you about something that happened to me one day. I was on my way to Damascus, and I was going to bring back the saints. I was going to get those people that were worshiping Jesus and bring them to be punished. And there was a great light that began to shine. And I heard a voice from heaven. And I fell down under that power. And there the Lord saved me and called me to preach." You read the 26th chapter of Acts, and that you'll find out that's exactly what he told Agrippa. He told him about how that God had saved him, how that God had called him to preach. And so let's think about what the Lord Jesus told this man, whom he had touched, whom he had healed, who he had cast those demons out of, when he said, I'll go with you, Lord, I'll follow you. Jesus said, "You go home. You go and you tell your friends. You go and testify. You go and make it be known." Let me tell you something, friends. When somebody, and I'm just going to put it bluntly today, you may like this or not like it. You may disagree with it or agree with it. You know what? That's between you and God. I'm going to tell you what I believe about it. I believe that people that we work around, people that we live around, people that we pass from day to day, they ought to know exactly what we have. Amen. We should have told it. We should have told them what we have, and shame on us when we don't. When you're around worldly people, would you rather just keep it that way? Would you rather just be silent? And then, well, you know, I can tell my testimony when I'm at church. Well, that's great when we tell them here, but God help us that we would tell what the Lord did for us outside of these four walls. Amen. That we would go the way that the Lord told that man, and we would tell people what it is that he has done for us. Our voice, I'm afraid, out in the community, around our neighbors, around our peers, around our co-workers, I'm afraid we're just too silent about what the Lord has done for us. And I know that many of you can relate to this. I've had great blessings in the Lord's house. I've had great blessings when we're assembled like we are here today. I've had great blessings standing before
my brothers and sisters in the Lord trying to preach His Word. But there's things in my mind today, one in particular, especially today, that seems to come to my mind. I'll never forget standing in Roanoke, Virginia, late at night, working in a grocery store. They would keep the lights dimmed about halfway to save energy, and we would be in there locked in the store at night, putting the groceries on the shelf, stocking the shelves, and we'd stay in there until about daylight the next morning working. Stand in that old dark, dingy store one night. There was a young man that I worked with named Joey, and he was a very worldly young man, liked to party, liked to live it up, liked to have a good time in the flesh. And one night there, standing in that old aisle, I got to talk to him about what the Lord had done for me. And I'll never forget when I was telling him about that. I'll never forget how that he got the saddest look on his face and dropped his head. And, you know, I don't know whatever happened to Joy, but I hope somewhere along the way he found the Lord. We need to tell people. We need to let them know. We're running out of time, and there's a whole world full of people. You know what? They need to hear. They need to hear what happened to you. You know, not everybody is going to come through those back doors and hear the preacher's sermon. Not everybody's going to do that. But there's many that we can reach right where they're at. Right where they're at. We can share the Lord with them right where they're at. That's all part of the Lord's mission. That's all a part of the work of the Lord's church, that we let it be known. So if you've got it, tell it. You know what? You may be here today. And I'm going to tell you just exactly what I think about this too. You get angry with me if you want, but I'm going to tell you just what I think about it. You may be here today, and you may have been saved, and you may have never told it. You may have never publicly told that you were saved. You know what I say about that? That's a shame. That's a shame to do something like that. And I'll tell you what, the Lord's not happy with that. If you have held back on God like that, I guarantee you He is not happy with you. I don't care what your reasoning in your mind may be. I don't care how you may have rationalized things and reasoned and picked the time. I'm telling you, if the Lord has spoke peace to your soul and you have held it back and haven't made it known, God is not happy with that. He wants us to tell people what He has done for us. I know that from the Scriptures, and I know that from experience too. God would have us to publish and to make known the blessings that He bestows upon us in our lives. You know what I'm going to do today? This is going to be a little bit different kind of invitation. But I'd like for us to stand and have a verse or two of a song. And, you know, there may be somebody here today, you may need to lift up your voice for the Lord. That's the invitation I want to give you today, to follow the Spirit of God. If you've got something you need to say today, then you need to say it. And so I'm going to ask you to stand, and we'll have a couple of verses of a song. And
242. To God be the glory, great things He hath done, so loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. Great things He hath taught us, great things He hath done, and greater rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done.
Well, I want to thank the Lord. My soul's sick. I think it was Wednesday night when the revival's going on in the little hill where I got saved, and it just is wonderful. This is 2 years and more.
Amen.
I'll never forget the mother. I want to thank the Lord for a good Christian mother and daddy who carried me on that hill where I could feel the truth. We didn't even know electricity. We just had a whole lot. But God gave me it.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, Sister Wiley.